Hippocrates would not have approved of lame excuses.
And I promise to begin exploiting my family before the end of the day.
Nice suit. Thank you.
Very good. You get a gold star.
Hailing frequencies open. You are listening to Treknologic's listening post. That goes with Stardate Treknologic.
What?
That goes with Treknologic 151, where we reviewed the Enterprise episode Observer Effect for Stardate 2014.208. First, let's start off with the space mailbag.
Okay, our first one is from Trek Chew. Trek Chew says, "Hello, crew. I think this is one of those episodes that I like mostly for them referencing stuff from earlier Trek. See Voyager's flashbacks or the Deep Space Nine one where they reference damage the Defiant took in First Contact. As those types of things create great cross-series or movies continuity. Though I do wonder what happened to the Organians in later years, considering the events of Undiscovered Country et al."
They got tired.
We were too annoying.
Probably the Q eliminated them.
Maybe. I'll never tell. Even that aside, it's a seriously good, though not outright awesome, episode, as it gives us a unique outside look at the crew, while the omnipotent beings aren't as annoying as, say, a Q. Wait, why was I given this one?
Wait, did somebody bring in one of those orange creatures from Labyrinth?
You mean the fire ones?
Yeah.
The ones that do the fire dance?
Yes.
Trek Chew says, "Their horribleness aside." Are you talking about the Organians or the Q there?
No, he was talking about the Q there.
Yeah, he's talking about the Q.
Pretty sure he's talking about the Organians.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's talking about the Q.
It's Organians.
He's actually mostly talking about all beings that claim to be omnipotent.
Oh, that they're horrible?
that they have horribleness.
They're already the horrible ones.
I think that's just envy. That's the green-eyed monster. The green-eyed photonic monster. I think for them, the issue isn't so much willful horribleness as with Q, but more a general disconnect from corporeal reality and the basic social graces that come with it.
See, so there he's telling you that Q chooses to be horrible while they're doing it just because they don't know any better. So they're both horrible.
I mean, there are Q that
right,
don't
but
choose
I mean,
to be horrible.
He's defining horrible by bad manners.
I hate bad manners. I am appalled by bad manners. I mean, I think that if I'm prodding somebody, they should probably scream. Right?
Otherwise, that's bad manners.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
Look, remember, according to Spock, the Organians are as above humans and Vulcans as humans are to amoeba.
Right.
So how moral are we to the amoeba under the microscope?
True. In your light face.
Are you talking to Trek Chew's not holographic?
No, I'm talking to you.
Me? This isn't my feedback. What the heck?
And you're just down on omnipotent people.
I can't down any omnipotent
people. Like, you're totally prejudiced.
I don't know any omnipotent people.
That's right, because people aren't omnipotent.
I know a lot of people that claim to be omnipotent.
I know a lot of beings.
I think you and Trek Chew should form a club.
Poor Trek Chew.
We'll all go out drinking sometime and complain about the omnipotent ones.
We still haven't finished his voicemail.
Oh, they're so
or his
omnipotent.
Email.
We only have two emails and it's
right. Like my short comment is the one that is a straw.
No. I was referring to myself. I just feel that's why I said I feel bad for Trek Chew because totally gone off the rails.
Well, you always have to write up Ensign.
He got us talking. You know.
That's true.
All right.
On the other hand, they seem to be just as unconcerned with it as the Q, and I sort of did get the vibe that they seem to be sort of unaware about it at times. Maybe it's something not everyone has.
Yeah. Scruples, he means. Not everyone has those.
Not just omnipotent beings. Other than that, ditto to what you said about their development between now and Errand of Mercy. Live long and podcast, Trek Chew.
Mike, I thought I just saw you bite your tongue.
I have a special program for that.
It's a subroutine I built in.
Yeah.
Our next email is from Jay from Brazil. Hi, guys. Observer Effect is a great episode of Enterprise with an equal review from you. Oh man, I can't believe that I missed the fact that the aliens were Arganians. Probably I was almost asleep during the piracy transmission of our local network.
Oh my God.
Regarding the earlier reunion of our species in the original series, I'm not sure, but wasn't it the Federation Klingons who came to them for its location and resources? Maybe that was their home planet or some kind of meeting place, and the Trek dudes just stumbled on them.
We kind of wondered about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they were living there, and as far as Starfleet knew, it was their home planet. But I think it was just a planet that they set up to practice being humans.
Yeah, I mean, we came up with a few different scenarios that made it, you know, but...
In the matter of warning or killing the virus, probably it also goes against the Organians' prime directive, because to them, we and the virus are similarly evolved.
Yep, that's about it.
Yes, I know. I'm sounding like those alien believer freaks.
No. It's just your statement is just a matter of scale, really. Yeah. But yeah, then again, maybe you're right. Maybe you do sound like those guys.
He says, and just a small complaint. Hoshi speaks English, German, Spanish, and a bunch of other idioms, but chose to live in Brazil without speaking Portuguese.
Never? Wow.
Never?
Well, not in that one clip where she was doing, you know, they named off all the languages she did.
Right. Yeah, but it kind of makes sense, because I think Portuguese is probably like English to her, you know, like she spoke it all the time, so she was like bouncing around all these things.
So
she doesn't
should have been in there.
Maybe I can see where it might be a little not exotic enough for her to like be crazy about, you know, like
it would have been cool if like during the delirium she just snapped into speaking Portuguese all the time.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
That would have been way cool.
That would have been real cool.
Also,
I don't speak Portuguese.
Yeah. Also, a little fun fact: her interpreter Linda Park is multilingual, knowing Korean, English, and Spanish. Live long and prosper. Thank you for the fishes, Jay in Brazil.
All right, next up is voicemail.
All right, a truckload of them.
Okay, they came in by truck?
Yeah.
Okay, first up is from Colin.
Hi, y'all. Well, shoot. Y'all gonna make it 150.
Congratulations.
Well, I remember when you was little old podcast on the internet not that long ago. Yeah, just little old two listeners. And now you're all grown up. Huge. In them old days. You were saying, please write in, let us know someone's out there. And then look here, you got your own show with letters and emails and MP3s and all that jazz. 150, yeah. 150. Shoot, you guys are so old people of him, you're coming over on the Mayflower. I really don't know what y'all do. It must be all that pan-fried catfish that y'all eat, because that's the only reason why you would be lasting 150. I mean... Shoot, it can't be them burgers. I mean, you know, it must be the coffee. That's what it is, the coffee. That's what it's all about. 150. Gee. Yeah, you're all grown up now, I guess, you know. No longer in diapers, except for Mike, who was never in diapers, unless you have holographic diapers.
Let's not go there.
That is a question. If you have a holographic baby, do you have to change a holographic diaper? And if you have to change the holographic diaper, what happens to the holographic? Anyway, moving on. Y'all decide to go on to Voyager for your 150 show, which is, Now, this brings up an interesting saying, you know, the Lord said, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, shoot, you got to go and update that for the 21st century. And it's easier for a Romulan to pass through the eye of a wormhole into the Delta Quadrant than it is for a Klingon to get into the gates of Gulf of Corps with no honor. Anyway, eye of a needle. This is interesting. I like the way the doctor treated the guy who was really horrible to him. Did you notice he was wearing a red shirt? Wouldn't surprise me if he died not long after.
Oh. Spock, Bones, and security officer Peterson. Where's Peterson?
No, see, I'm Janitor Peterson. That's the mistake happened out of town. Don't even worry about it. Y'all go here.
Come on, Peterson. You've got to beam down to the sun's surface. Let's go, man.
Man, that's just great. Yeah, I always wanted to go to the surface of the sun.
Captain's log, Stardate 2146.7. I would feel remiss in my duties if I did not mention by name the 16,492 crew members in red shirts that boldly died as no man has died before.
Probably the doctor killed him, experimenting with his nanites. It also is interesting in the fact that Voyager is often accused of no continuity. Well, spoilers, in season 4, they learn that the messages were never transmitted.
Aww.
And also, Paris was introducing Kesh to spinach juice with a touch of pear. Really? That's a thing? Spinach juice with a touch of pear? You
that's what
you
I
have
thought.
That over there?
I've never had.
Why? That. Why? Healthy? Yes. Nice? I doubt it.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what they juice.
This is really, really heavy episode. There's no humour in it at all. In fact, it's quite solemn. You know, B'Elanna saying no one's going to miss her back home. The reality of the fact that they can't go home, even when they can go home, because they'll upset the timeline. You know, a couple of hundred people suddenly turning up knowing, we know what happens in the next Super Bowl. And actually the next 19 Super Bowls. We're going to be rich. But no, that doesn't happen. That's if the Super Bowl still goes on in the future. Either still play baseball, you never know. But the other interesting thing about this is it's Harry being Harry. Let's go anyway. Yes, Harry, you're head of operations and you're a bit thick. You can't go back because even the slightest thing that one of the 100-odd people on your ship will say could alter the timeline irrevocably and change the whole outcome of things. And also, even if you did like in Star Trek First Contact when they went to Gravette Island and stayed out of the way of history, it only takes one small person to say one thing or do one thing and who knows what the outcome will be. You know, maybe, you know, I mean, look at the Mirror Universe. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
But yeah, it's a really, really interesting dynamic. And like Chris says, the problem with doing these type of episodes early in the season run is you know they're not going to get home because you know there's another 20-odd episodes to come. So they really need to schedule these towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
It'll probably work even better nowadays because no one knows if an episode, if a series is going to carry on from season to season, especially if it's on Fox.
That's true.
Really strong episode, and I thought it was really good. And by the way, guys, the trivia for this one, I was screaming at my iPad because I knew every solitary one of them. God, I would have had about 1,000 quotes. Anyway, congratulations on getting to 150 episodes of Technologic, and you haven't killed each other yet. It is really, really good. Although in Kerry and Chris's case, that's exceptionally good because you're married and have children. But no one's deleted Mike's file. You never know. But still, congratulations, guys, and I look forward to the next 150. With or without any murders incurring in the intervening period. So until then, guys, live long and podcast.
Wow, thank you. And I do eat catfish.
Oh, who doesn't eat catfish, man? That's good.
Well, I don't really care for catfish that much.
Drink spinach juice with a touch of pear.
I would try it.
I'm going to tell you that, juicing has become this really big thing. At least, you know, that I've heard about.
Spinach?
All right, hold on. No. You need to clear your decks for about 5 minutes while we go over this story.
No. No, I'm not going to go over the story.
There's this whole juicing story.
No, but I'm just saying juicing has become very, very popular, and they juice all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah.
And so I could fully see spinach with a little bit of pear. I'm not saying it's going to taste good, but I could totally
like,
see
all right, hang on a second. That's not even like remotely weird compared to what we juice at my house, actually. We do kale. We do carrots, blueberries, all kinds of stuff. And I'm not even a big veggie guy. Like, I don't even like the veggies. And the other person who dwells there is like, she's been a vegan at times, you know? And she mixed up one the other day and had all this, like, greens in it because like, the greens are so good. And she's like, I can't even drink it. I was like, I don't mind. I'll just drink it. Glug, 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 glug. Give me those phytochemicals. I don't know. Whatever.
Did you, like, chug it so you weren't even tasting it?
Of course.
Because that's kind of what I have to do for some of those juices. It's like,
not, I don't think it's meant to taste good, is it?
Hold your nose and just chug it down because it does not taste good.
Right on. All right, well, listen, let's move on.
Hold on.
What?
I did want to say that, Colin, thank you very much. I did not know 150 was a thing.
I otherwise, told you it was our sesquicentennial episode.
Yeah,
you just ignored me.
You just totally did not listen. I heard you say. I said, "Wow, that's a big. That's your big word, Mike."
Yep, that's right.
That's right. He did. He was like,
"But I mean, it's
dude.
You know, it's not 200. It's not a round, real number. I mean,
150 is.
No, but 150.
Well, I understand it's even.
It's even,
but
it's a round number.
It has to have two zeros to be round.
So it's not a number that Monk would like.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
and
I see.
So,
oh,
now, I see. Maybe for 200, okay. We'll do something special. But we just went with our normal schedule for 150.
We're going to have fireworks? We're going to have fireworks for 200?
The other thing for Colin is that he does the Melodic Treks podcast. And I actually sent in a voicemail to that one.
Has he done 150 of them yet?
Not yet.
I think he's just getting started.
But I pointed out that, you know, he does all the nice music and stuff on Star Trek.
Oh, my gosh. No, he suggested some of that horrible stuff.
Da, 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 da,
no, that's not even the horrible stuff.
No, actually, I think I sent you a sample of the bill.
Oh, no.
You know what the horrible stuff is?
No.
You ready? You ready?
No, we know. We've heard it.
Hello, Rose. Yeah, room now.
Wait.
All right, so did he respond to your message about?
Actually, I don't. He put it on his podcast, but I don't think he said anything about it.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to have to play bad music. Imagine.
No, it was a little bit in the background of my voicemail.
Oh, I see. So you didn't give him a choice.
You put it in the background of your voicemail. That's like just cruel.
Well, I started off with nice music. Nice Star Trek music.
Well, yeah, that's how you trick him into playing it.
I think I was his first voicemail.
Wait, all right. You mean like this?
No.
Oh, wait, hold on.
You mean this song, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
This one?
Oh, yeah, so good.
This is my ringer.
I got faith.
My finger on my phone.
You guys know that we have like 3 hours more voice.
I know. I'm trying to move us on. Like a half hour ago, said, let's go to Karam Golan.
I want to get the Bette Midler version of that song.
No.
Rod Stewart did one too, apparently. So, all right. Yeah, I'm going to play the next voicemail.
All right.
Hello, Technologic crew. I am the Takaran Golem, fondly christened Takarangolem. I thought I'd send this transmission to bring Bill up to speed, as we haven't had a chance to get to know each other. You see, my mother is a Takaran, and my father is a statue. They met on a Federation dating site called Trekmate. Scientists aren't sure how to classify me, but near as they can figure, I'm some kind of marble-based life form and possible unholy abomination. At least I think they were scientists. There's also been some question as to whether or not I can be classified as sentient, but so far I've been getting the benefit of the doubt. And that's a relief, because we Takarans are renowned for our intelligence. In Takaran society, 20% is a B+. 30% is an A. And if you get higher than 50, well, you'll be disqualified for cheating. Let's see, what else? Oh, funny story. My first time on the ship, I accidentally got locked in my quarters for like 7 months. It was really quite embarrassing. The computer apparently thought I was some kind of lower life form or inanimate object. You know, we all make mistakes. But since I've come aboard, I've enjoyed my time here immensely. I like to think of myself as the Zoidberg of the ship. Wise, knowledgeable, reserved, useful, and respected among the crew. You also asked what my hook was for the original series. Well, it was you guys. At first, I skipped all of your original series podcast, but I enjoyed your show so much that I wanted to hear more. It was your insight into Balance of Terror that made me sit up and take note.
Wow.
Since then, I've been watching more episodes, trying to separate the cleverness of the writing from the goofiness of the medium. And also, I am married and to the woman of my dreams for over a year now. I may be made of rock, but she's made of gold-pressed platinum. Thanks for the podcast. Tack out.
Aww.
Wow, very nice.
He's married to a dream woman?
No, a gold-pressed platinum woman.
Yeah.
Oh, in his dreams.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So thanks for, thanks for catching me up there, Tack.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much.
All right, so let's see. I think next up is Mike at Gatecast.
Yes.
Greetings to the crew of the Relativity and the listeners to the historical documents that are Treknologic. I really do like the Enterprise episode, Observer Effect. And I think it's an excellent example of what the show should have been about pretty much from day one, by making full use of the races, planets, events mentioned in the original series as the core of new stories. I suspect the reason why I enjoy the fourth season so much is that they do embrace the idea, while making sure you don't have to have seen TOS to make the stories work. Of course, I've been a long-time fan of the writings of Judith and Garfield Reeve Stevens via their Trek material, with and without William Shatner, so I don't think it ever hurts to have writers very familiar with that source material. On a slightly different tack, I still find it difficult to believe any sci-fi fan has not seen Firefly, and if the cowboy western aspect is the hurdle, then don't worry. It's more about the attitude of the people and society within that universe Joss created, which is a common theme within many genres. The cowboy motif just seemed to fit nicely, especially when horses and cattle do feature, and of course a snazzy six-shooter, because hey, only the rich folk have laser guns. Not seen Briscoe County Jr.? Well, I guess that's more forgivable, since it's more niche than Firefly. It took me a while to get a decently priced DVD box set from the States many moons ago. I guess with a time ship, I could have pre-ordered it, but us mere mortals. A little podcast trivia. My Gatecast got an email from Elisa, who first heard of us through a mention on Treknologic. Thank you. And of course, I heard about Treknologic thanks to your Stargate special episode. Talk about convoluted. Jagged suits life on board Relativity. Take care, guys, and keep on cruising those space-time continuums. Mike, signing off.
Yeah, I liked that Stargate episode.
I love Stargate,
And I love how, you know, this show that had 14 episodes is less niche than the Briscoe County show that I didn't see.
It's true. It's all on you, Mike. You know what? I wonder if there's a time travel Firefly. That could be the next Mike Apocalypse.
Yeah. There's not.
Chris, don't you like have a catalog knowledge of all of the episodes?
I can make a case for one of them being time travel. I'm sure. Just give me a chance.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there's a time travel Briscoe County, though.
And we've already disqualified all of the regular shows saying that traveling through time at the speed of time doesn't count.
Yeah.
So you can't use that as a loophole.
Oh.
But we can do Rip Van Winkle episodes.
Yes.
Oh, you mean where they're cryogenically frozen for a period of time and then taken out?
Yep.
Yep.
And brought into
far in the future. Yes.
Far in the future. Well, in the future.
Yep.
Yep.
More than just right after they were frozen.
No, that doesn't mean like they go to sleep for the night and they wake up the next day and that's time travel, Carrie. No.
No, I wouldn't count that.
Does that mean the first Planet of the Apes movie then?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he traveled in time.
I know, total spoiler, dude. It hasn't been 50 years yet.
Wait,
it almost has.
Back off, you damn dirty ape.
You know what we're doing. Charles has the entire time. All right, just cut all that out. Cut out the spoilers. Just go, boop, 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 boop. You damn dirty, boop, boop. All right.
You do know that, like, if they haven't seen the one with Charlton Heston, it's okay, because it was that really long ago.
Yeah, I mean, that movie's...
Spoilers are okay. I was just...
Yeah, that movie's only a year younger than me.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah. Back during the space race. Okay, let's move on, shall we?
Yes.
Next up, Matthias. Stand by for loading. I need a sound effect there.
Hello, Relativity Crew. This is Matthias. After a long time, this is the first voicemail. Let me start off by apologizing to Jay from Brazil for giving the Brazilian team such a beating, 7-1 in a semifinal of the World Cup. That was never seen before, and Brazil honestly didn't deserve that. Fortunately for Brazil, however, we were successful in beating Argentina in the finals, so at least Argentina didn't win the title in Brazil. That would have been the biggest catastrophe for the Brazilian people. But now to the two new episodes that I want to give my two cents on. The first one is The Eye of the Needle. I love the episode very, very much. It was the first episode that got me thinking, we're only 5 episodes in and they want to find a way back to the Alpha Quadrant already? Okay, it was clear that they wouldn't succeed, that there would be some obstacle that would smash their plans of coming home. And I like the execution of it. So, for my part, I'll have to give it a 7 out of 10. Let's continue with the observer effect. I love that the aliens took on different identities and not just kept the ones in the beginning. And I also understand the conflict that those two have, with one of them trying to get involved and the other one trying to prevent that. For me, as a rating, this episode gets a 7. And now to the German titles. I know at least Chris loves it. First, let me start with The Eye of the Needle. No surprise there, Das Nadelöhr, which is exactly what the English title is. There is something I want to comment on regarding Bill trying to cite the Bible verse, and it goes something like this. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man entering the kingdom of God. So, sorry, Bill, but you failed there. I have to commend Bill, however, for his German. It was very, very good, but that was concerning the observer effect. You were just off by a little, Bill. The sentence Hoshi says in German is, Ich werde zu spät zur Klasse kommen. And ironically, that sentence in the German dubbed version is translated into the English sentence, I'll be too late for class. The German title for this episode was Der Beobachtungseffekt, which, you know, is the same, almost the same. It would more likely be the observation effect, but, you know, not a big difference. Well, for me, that will be it for this fortnight. I'm looking forward to the next review, and I hope everyone is doing fine. Yay! Germany is new world champion, and see you in 2 weeks.
Awesome.
Nice.
What part of the... I'm not sure which part of the Bible verse I got wrong, but unless I said the kingdom of heaven instead of the kingdom of God.
Maybe.
It's probably a translation issue more than anything else, depending on the version of the Bible that you read. I came up with the NIV, and I was just going off the cuff. from a lifetime of
maybe you said
that stuff drilled in my head. So I'm sure maybe I got it wrong.
I don't know. You said it's easier for a hippopotamus to get in.
Well, that's not what Jesus said, but you know what? Maybe it's what I'll say one day.
I thought it was it's easier for a velociraptor to go through the eye of a needle.
That works too. I don't think the actual animal is really that.
Yeah, there are so many things that it would be easier.
Yeah, I mean, you could have said a giant rock. You know,
a Takaran golem.
Yes. A Takaran golem. You could have said really basically anything bigger than the eye of a needle. Okay,
I would have been impressed if they would have said an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, man. That's the new down home version.
I think that would have been Jesus tipping his hand a little bit.
Oh, true. True. Then he would have, you know, been spoilers.
Right.
I got
all right. So, I'm sorry. Are we trying to propose the idea of a redneck Jesus? Because I will run with that.
No.
Don't do that, Phil.
Down.
Stop it.
Bad.
Down, Phil.
I'm going to spritz you.
Just make sure you don't have a spritzer that has some engine lubricant in it.
Oh, good gravy. Okay, what's the next one?
All right. Now it's
the giant one from Mark, right?
Yes.
Hi, Captain. Hi, crew. It's Mark in Paris calling in about your Technologic 111 review of the Enterprise episode Minefield. Here are my thoughts about the Enterprise episode. You will recall that a mine attaches itself to the hull of Enterprise. Reed does an EVA to disarm the mine, and while he's working, a spine comes out of the mine and pierces Reed's leg, pinning him to the hull. You suggest that they could simply teleport Reed back into the ship. This may not have been possible. It's akin to beaming within the ship, and they couldn't do that until much later. It makes sense that whatever transmitters, etc., are used for the transporter, it's designed to be aimed at some distance from the ship. And, of course, there's the fact that the spine had a detonating device, and if you broke it by teleporting it or with Reed, it would have set off the mine. When the spine pierces Reed's leg, we see that his spacesuit is self-sealing, with a foam that fills the tear in the fabric. That reminded me of Worf's suit being torn in First Contact, where he had to scotch tape it shut. It's a pity they stopped using those self-sealing suits at some point before the 24th century. Reed tells the story of his ancestor, an engineer on a Royal Navy submarine that suffered an accident while patrolling under the ice pack. To give the crew time to use their escape pods, which is a great innovation on a sub. I don't think we have those. Reed's ancestor locks himself into the engineering compartment to keep the reactor from exploding. The needs of the many. You complain about Reed and Archer using the shuttle hatches to protect themselves from the blast of the mine explosion after the hull plate is detached. You ask why they don't use those super hatches on the hull of the ship itself, which was so badly damaged from an earlier mine explosion. I think the difference is that the hatches were simply there to catch the debris from the mine. I'm not really explaining it well, but Reed and Archer were thrown back by the blast. They didn't resist it. They were free to move relative to the mine. The ship itself was not free to move relative to the mine. The mine had attached itself to the hull before exploding, which could explain why there was so much damage in that case. And so little harm to Reed and Archer. It does make it hard to know how Mayweather caught them in the whatever it was, the shipping bay, or you know, he sort of scooped them up somehow. I don't think that makes much sense. But anyway, you complained that the Romulans were too patient, and I agree. My explanation is that the Romulans had never encountered an Earth vessel and didn't know how limited its capacity was. They are sneaky, those Romulans, and they would not want to take a chance on an unknown. You complain that the Romulans shouldn't have had cloaking technology. I fully agree with you on that. There was no need for it in the story, and it spoils the events of the original series. I do like your suggestion that the cloaking mines were from another lost civilization and that the Romulans had discovered the technology there and were reverse engineering it. The Romulan versus Romulan bit was funny. I would have written it, though, backwards. I think it would have made it better for a better version of the mix-up. Hoshi misinterprets... And so this is my version. Hoshi misinterprets the real name of their planet. Maybe it's something like Romulus, as Romulus. She maps a familiar word onto a strange sound pattern. T'Pol corrects her, but Romulus sticks, giving us Romulus and Romulan for the rest of history.
That's good.
Yeah.
The same would apply for something like Vulcan. Maybe Valkin was the name the Vulcans used for our collective and was misinterpreted by humans as the more familiar Vulcan and used as the name of the planet and the people. I mean, it seems really unlikely that these Earth words would happen to be the name the people on these planets used for their own planet or civilization. My rating for Minefield is quite high, a 6 or 7. I agree that Reed remains a cipher, and that's a weak point, but we learn later that he's a spy kind of guy, so that could explain his being so tight-lipped.
Yep.
For character development, I look instead to Archer. There's a great exchange between Reed and Archer about what kind of captain Archer is, and we really see what kind of captain he is. It's a really distinctive personality for Archer. Now, Archer drives me nuts in many episodes, but this Archer is one of the great Starfleet captains. I also love the art direction, the spacesuits, the damage to the hull, the design of the hull plates, Mayweather's manual commands, the great views of the ship. I'm a big fan of the design of this art Enterprise. It's one of my favorites, and we see it from great angles here. Bakula does a great job as Archer, and the performances of the other actors are solid. Even Mayweather has something to do, finally. It was a solid episode of Treknologic 2. Thanks again. Live long and podcast. And now I'm going to listen to the listening post, and maybe everybody has already said what I just said. But by now you've forgotten it, so it's fresh again. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark, for sending in voicemail on Minefield. It is a blast from the past.
Yeah.
All right,
I'll
next
just
up.
Say maybe Reed is part Vulcan, and that's why he is what he is.
No,
I don't think
that'd
so.
Make him interesting. All right, next up, iTunes reviews.
Hey, apparently my sad plea that I still haven't heard because I don't listen to myself, but Mike put some awesome music behind, and it timed perfectly because, well, I mean, let's just face it, I'm practically perfect in every way.
Okay, Mary.
No, just because Mike is awesome. We did get an iTunes review.
All right.
Yes. Only one, though. So
still, score one.
Hey, that's
yes.
One.
So that's 1 week that I don't have to, you know, go back to my whole NPR sad violin song.
Actually, it's score 111 for our 111th review.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Thank you.
Yes. This is from ECM, who said, love it to the nth degree.
Yay!
ECM said, hilarious reviews of Star Trek from the original series to the Enterprise and everything in between, including jaunts into the animated universe.
Yep.
With movie reviews as well. You might not always agree with their comments, but you can't resist the humor and fun of the Relativity crew.
Aww.
And the... Wait, not just, I mean, that is nice. We are, I hope we have humor and fun. But, and the community of listeners following this cast is wonderful too.
Absolutely.
Nice. Totally.
Don't miss out.
Wow, our listeners got a review.
Yay,
yeah.
Listeners!
Everybody review on iTunes.
That may be the best iTunes review ever.
I think I forgot to say that was a 5-star iTunes review.
Oh yes,
5-star.
Which I would give our listeners 5 stars too.
Yeah,
I totally give our listeners. I give our listeners 7 out of 5 stars.
That's right.
I like.
All right. Well, speaking of feedback, you can give us feedback by giving us a nice iTunes reviews. Reviews, yeah, multiple.
Yeah, give us multiple reviews.
It's like Chicago: vote early, vote often.
Email us at feedback@treknologic.com. You can even email us voicemails. You can tweet us at Treknologic, and we're on Facebook and Google+. And we have a Treknologic forum at treknologic.com. Thank you for listening to our discussion of feedback. And until next time, on behalf of everyone here at Truck and Logic, love long and prosper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. I think I might have that one. Do I have that one?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't have any of the mailbag stuff. Sorry.
Well, I think it's just the standard.
Yeah,
quote.
That's the standard end. So you should have that one.
Oh, stand by.
I just noticed that was in 4/4 time.
Chris is doing band camp.
I'll do my best, y'all. I'll do my best. I can do no more, but I will do no less.
Your best is better than what I was doing today. Or at least my mixer.
Yes.
Oh, is that what it was? Your mixer's the culprit?
Well, a part of it was causing all that background noise.
Oh, that sucks.
But then the iPad was also a culprit with the cutting out.
What kind of? All right, we'll talk tech later. Let's get to it.
Yes.
Oh, I don't think you have that one.
I don't have
the intro music.
One. Yeah.
Oh, I start.
All right. Well, that's don't worry right. about it. Just you can paste that one in.
Ben 1,000. All right. So wait, no, I got it. Wait. Just,
you might have.
Oh, you know what? I don't have that one. Yeah. I don't.
You don't have it. So.
So Chris, just go right into it. Not that part.
No, that's good, though. Keep that in there. Welcome.
I don't know. That sounds more like the intro to Chips to me.
Some 70s TV show.
Listen, Pont. No, you'd be what was the other guy's name besides Poncherelli?
Chip, right?
No.
Yeah.
Chip was California Highway Patrol.
Oh, I thought they were both Chip. And their Hi, last Chip. Names are different.
Great day to be a patrolman, isn't it, Chip? You said that, Chip. Come on, Chip. Let's go, Chip.
I'm glad I'm recording.
Yeah, me too. That's gold. This is gold.
Every right? officer gold. Named Chip.
I'm sorry. What's your name? Oh, are you willing to change it? What's your name change becomes final? Then you can become a California Highway Patrol officer. What do you want, Minion? No, it's still charging. Go away. We're podcasting now. We're recording. So you have to be very quiet.
How about this one? Since I can't use it.
Sorry. We're trying to... And he's just going to make noise when he walks out again and
yeah.
we'll hit the door
slam. Go, okay, I have games on here.
Do, 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 do.
He's like, oh, yeah, you do. I know.
Go enjoy.
I've seen it.
Yeah. We'll let you know when we're done. Love you. Bye.